squeezing out the grapes and violating Nisa Deraisa. So in order to prevent that from happening, they made Gzera. Once they had a Tzorach Gadol to make Gzera, they had a right to extend the Gzera to make it like a Leutlug, even to cover cases where there's mamish no chashash. Mm-hmm. What are you afraid of over here? Someone's going to squeeze out, also someone's going to squeeze out the hen, fetch the chicken in order to get the egg out. It doesn't make any sense. But still, once they made the gzera, so they included even cases where the chashash doesn't apply. Kula chod gzera. It was all included in the gzera.
Well, here when we have a short conflict, what to say, it's continuously we're not allowed to separate between food and mashke, between ochel and mashke. How about, let's say, that there's no achille, but it's only mashke. Let's say you go in a field and you're thirsty and you see a cactus. Can you squeeze it? It's not achille, you cannot eat the cactus. It's not edible. But you can drink out the water.
I don't know. What do you do with a cactus?
You throw it away.
You squeeze it out.
You can squeeze it out, yeah. You make a hole.
You make a hole and it comes out by itself.
The water will come out by itself and it's full of water.
It's like
a
coconut.
But it's not edible.
A coconut?
Coconut is edible.
No, but let's say a coconut cactus is not a shayla because the mashke is there. You don't have to squeeze it. It's not connected.
It's
like I have a cup of tea. So you say when I pour the water out, I'm separating. I'm not detaching. It was never attached in the first place. Yeah. It's never attached.
But
in the
cactus, you have to squeeze.
The cactus, you do have to squeeze.
You may have to squeeze.
That's also that's like squeezing out a sponge. You're not allowed to squeeze out a sponge.
You may allow to be, you say not to use it for washing, but you may allow the sponge to drink.
No.
Then it's not only the issue of achil and shir, it's on all.
All cases where you have two different things that are connected, with each other. Here they're not connected. You have two things that are connected, and you detach them.
You're not allowed to separate one, the chaff from the wheat.
Oh, so why? Because one is echel, one is psolus. Or if one is echel, one is mashke. Or one is mashke, and one is a sponge. It's also you have two different things, and they're connected, and you're detaching them. But if you just have a cup of water, you pour it out, so the water was never connected. It's not really attached in the first place to the cup.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Rosh Shabbos discusses a case where you take, you have a bunch of albums. Before you take them to the olive press, you put them into a vat. And then they stay in the vat for a while. And I think you have to soften. They put them sometimes, they stick in there, and the shower pet stick in there. The itself is a twig or not in Kabutum, because the bulb at the bottom of it picks up juice from Zichalain. That juice tells you whether or not it's ready now for pressing.
It's a test.
That juice you can't drink on Shabbos?
If it oozes out by itself, you're not allowed to drink it on Shabbos. Right.
You can't drink it.
Not permitted to. If it oozed out on Shabbos, whatever oozed out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink. If it oozed out on Erev Shabbos, then you are allowed to drink. But whatever oozed out on Shabbos, is also to drink. We're going to have to learn by today. Gemara is going to continue to discuss. What about the grapefruit? The Shalom Devi said, you cut the grapefruit, are you allowed to drink the juice? So let's learn. We'll have to get some more Gemara down. So until we get there, the Gemara is going to... Okay, so we finally learned the first line of the Mishnah. Okay. Beis Hillel say, you're not allowed to eat the Beit Rishonal B'Yonta, but the Gemara asked, my time in the Beis Hillel. What's wrong with the Beit Rishonal B'Yonta? So we finally finished. There are four explanations. Rab Nachman says that it's an issue of only by Tanigalus and Medes L'Gabba Beitzin. It's an issue of Noilad Gomor. And Beis Hillel and Yontif hold like Rab Yudah, Islay Muktam and Islay Muktam, Islay Noilad. And Beis Shammai hold leislei muktas and leislei noila. Rabbi doesn't agree. Rabbi says it's an issue of hachone. If you have yontav next to Shabbos, it'll be an isa deraisa to eat the egg on the second day. If it's yontav alone, a Shabbos alone, it's an isa derabbana gzeira otu yontav shachar Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosi gave the third reason. It's part of the big gzeira. It's a big gzeira peris on Oshrim. And Rabbi Yitzchak says no, along the lines of Rabbi Yosi, but not exactly the same. It's part of a different gzeira, a mashkan shazav. It's interesting. You see, we'll see from the Gemara Vayta. Peres on Rosh and mashkan shazav are not the same gzeira. The Gemara says they're two separate gzeiras. So Rabbi Yosi says that it's part of that gzeira. Rabbi Yitzchak says part of a different gzeira. So the Gemara is now going to sum up. Why doesn't anybody agree with anybody else? How come there are four different shitas? So the Gemara sums up. Cool. Look, Rav Nachman lo yamri. All the last three Amoroyim don't accept Rav Nachman. They say it's Rabbi and Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok. Nobody accepts Rav Nachman Shita. Why? Kikushyon. Like we asked Akasha. The Kasha that we left off last week. The Kasha was, Why does it have the machlekes only on the dates of Shinoda? If you're talking Tanagelas Hamedes Legadal Beitzim, they can have the same machlekes on the hen itself. In the middle of Yom Tov, you change your mind and you want to shech the hen. So if you change your mind, that's also a shaila for Muktzah. So should have said hiu beitzosa. Tanagelas Hamedes Legadal Beitzim hiu beitzosa should be a machlekes b'shamim beisuf. So that was kikushyot. They don't agree with Rav Nachman because of our kasha. Ki kushyon, like the kasha that we said before. Ki rabbi nami lo yamri. All the three amorim that says Rav Nachman, the first one, and the third and the fourth, they don't agree. We do paskin like rabbi. Rabbi is the one who wins over here. We paskin achana de rabbi. But what prompted the other three amorim to disagree with rabbi? Achana leislu. They're not so convinced that this kind of achana b'dei shamayim, that's a problem. The Beitzah Shinol Dohidna, the Beitzah is born today, Me'asmol Gomolo, that happens automatically. So that's a Shaila from improper Achana, so they're not so convinced that that's correct, so they don't learn Apshat. It's not clear. Gemara is going to talk later. It could be. Gemara is going to mention it could be that in general they hold from Achana, but Achana B'day Shamayim they hold that that's not a problem. It could be that they're not Goris Achana and Gansa. Rabbi is the one who came up with the whole idea of Achana. So it could be the other Amarim don't hold it. Well, from Achana, they hold that this is not a valid application. Gemara is going to give the two shades later. Now the question is, all right, so those are the first two. The weaknesses of Rav Nachman, the weak spot of Rav Nachman's pshat, and there's a weakness in Rabbi's pshat. Ela, zog the Gemara, Rav Yeis in my time, Alamak, Rav Yitzchak, the last two came out the same. They're both saying something that's very strange, and the Mashkan Shazav and the Peres HaNoshrim were broad gzeres. It was a big leiplug rabbanon. The gzera was instituted even in cases where the tamak gzera doesn't apply at all. There's no chashash at all. He's not going to squeeze out the tanagelus in order to get out the beitzah. So they're both saying kemat the same. So why does he attack it on to peres on noshrim, and why does he say no? It makes more sense to say that it's mashkin shazavu. So he says al rabbi yis in my time long rabbi yitzchok amalach. So he holds no. Beitzah shenolda is an uchla. Uperis anoishrim is an uchla. That's an uchla. Apuki mashkin de lav uchla. Mashkin shezavu is only on a juice, on a liquid. Beitzah, a raw egg is an uchla. A raw egg is not a mashka. Even though it's liquidy, but it's not called a mashka, it's called an uchla. So he holds it makes more sense that it should fall on the. If you want to say it's part of exam, it makes more sense it falls on the peris anoishrim. That's what the Paskim discuss. There are other differences. This is a difference on a din de rabbanon. We don't even hold from bechlal over here. There are two gzeres de rabbanon, peres hanoshim, mashkin shezavu. We happen to pass like rabbi that the reason for this hillel is hakana. It's an issue of hakana. So we don't hold for this bechlal. We don't hold it's neither part of peres hanoshim nor is it part of mashkin shezavu. But according to these amaroyim, so that's what the first amor points out. No, one was a gzeira that has to do with oichel, one was a gzeira that has to do with mashke, and beitzah shenolda, that's an oichel. That's not a mashke, it's an oichel. We have differences on the level of deraisa between oichel and mashke. Let's say one who eats on Yom Kippur is chayv koris, but it's a difference whether you eat or you drink. If you eat, it's one shir, and if you drink, it's a different shir. If you eat, the shir is kosev es agasa. And if you drink, the shir is kimaloi lugmam. It's interesting. If you eat, the shir is more than a kazayas. In other areas of eating and drinking, treifas, the shir we may have spoken about before Yom Kippur, no? That the shir for achil and kolotar kulas kezayis, and the shir for shtiya, kolotar kulas, revias, a beitza machta. So for Yom Kippur, nothing corresponds. The shir for achil is much bigger. Kosevis agasa is larger than a kezayis, a little less than a beitza, the Gemara says. And the shir for drinking, is less than a revius. The shear for drinking is malay lugma, which corresponds to a roi revius by an odin beinani. So the shear eating and drinking Yom Kippur doesn't correspond living a dead to the shear achil and shtia and kol atarakula. So the shaila is, the achrayim talk about this humorous. The chazarim in Europe, some of them are not so religious. So these raw eggs on Yom Kippur, in order they had them, so they said it's good for their voice, whatever. Yeah, good, no good. So the shaila is, if a meshugan is eating raw eggs on Yom Kippur, how much raw eggs does he have to eat that it should be in violation of the real kashir? How much do you have to eat? Do you consider it a noichel, or do you consider it a mashke? So the achrayim bring the raya from this gemara, that you see that a raw egg Sabatka. No. I know. There's not a machlekes. You see from this Gemara that it's an oichel. Napuke, how does he say? He says that beitza uchla peris uchla puke mashkim de lav uchla. So he says that a beitza shenol is an oichel. That's what, so they say.
Standing the fact is that they drink a raw egg.
No. Right, they drink a raw egg. Right, so the halacha says that it's called an oichel. Now, why is a taka called an oichel? Aye, but it's taka very liquidy. So they give the definition because a mashke doesn't mean something that's liquidy. And an oichel means something that's solid. It's not solid versus liquid, it's beverage versus food. Soup is also an oichel al pidin. If you drink soup, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyadim. How much soup do you have to drink in order to say bar nefashis? How much soup do you have to drink? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyadim, a kazayis of soup. Why should it be a kazayis? But let's say it's very liquidy soup. Oh, it's very liquidy soup. So why shouldn't you say it should have the sheer revius? It's a mashke. So Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva where he talks about, Rav Moshe doesn't agree with the Chayyadim. But first he explains what the Chayyadim is talking about. So he says the Chayyadim holds based on the Gemara in the end of Yuma, Dafpei, that the difference in definition between a noichel and a mashke is not liquid versus solid, it's rather beverage versus food. So if a person comes home and he's very thirsty, he's going to take a drink of milk, coffee, soda, water. He's not going to take a drink of soup. If a person is hungry, he takes a drink of soup. But if a person is thirsty, that's not a beverage. If you have lace brere, if the person doesn't have any beverages to drink, so he'll drink some soup also. But under normal circumstances, soup is not a beverage. Soup is a liquid form of an eichel. So a liquid form of an eichel has the status of an eichel. It's not considered a mashke.
Certain way, soup is already considered medicine. You may even eat before davening. Chicken soup is good for cold. You can drink it before the davening.
No, you're not allowed to drink chicken soup before the davening. It's considered eichel. You say
it's a
tasty medicine, then you say a bracha on it because it's called food. If you swallow pills, you don't say a bracha. That's not called achila. That's what the Rishonim explained. That's why there's halacha. We just said before, what about to squeeze the lemon on top of the fish? So why is it mutter? It's not because the lemon is mamish touching the fish. What if I squeeze like this? He squeezes over here and the fish is on the bottom. It's also mutter. Why is it mutter? Because mashka, borotar, choechel, choechel, dami, what does it mean? That mashka is clearly not a beverage. Right now, that mashka is still inside the lemon. It's in a state of oichel. And then it's flying in the air, it's separate, Taka, it is separate, it's liquid and it's separate, but it's not, obviously it's not oimit to serve as a beverage. It's not oimit to serve, it's on its way, mashka bola to choichel. So the Rishonim say, so that the Gemara says, Shabbat, that's choichel avad, it's choichel. It's not oimit to be a beverage, it's oimit to be a food, a liquid food. So that's called an oichel. That's what we once discussed at that bracha, that Tosafos suspect Akasha in brachas, that if I'm vegetable soup, you say Bari Prihu Adoma. In fact, Tosafos, why don't you say Bari Minim Zainis on beer? Vegetable soup, you say Bari Prihu Adoma, even if it's clear, even if you strained it out. Not only if it's thick vegetable soup, even if it's very clear, it's all strained out, you still say Bari Prihu Adoma, because it has the flavoring from the vegetables. So Tosafos suspect Akasha, even though the beer is clear, why don't you say Bari Minim Zainis? The whole lump from the beer, the whole gishmak, the whole time comes from the grain. So Tosafos says, Tosafos gives three different answers. So the answer that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, all the answers are quoted. So one of the answers that's quoted La Loch in Shulchan Aruch is that beer is a beverage, and beverage is always shahakal. The brach and a beverage are always shahakal. But soup is an oichel. Soup is not a beverage. So there you have Mizainis and you have Huadoma. If you'll have some kind of a barley soup. Let's say you have a barley soup and you strained out all the barley and it has the tam of the barley. That'll also be mezainis. That'll be mezainis. Tosafos said if it's not a soup, if it's a beverage is always shahakal. But if it'll be taka mezainis soup, then it will be bar minim mezainis. That's why we said there's a question, what bracha do you say when you drink schnapps? Schnapps is very, very liquidy. But nobody drinks schnapps as a beverage. When you're thirsty, you don't drink schnapps, you drink other things. Even in countries where people drink a lot of schnapps, but they don't drink schnapps when they're thirsty. It's clearly not a beverage. It should be like a soup. And we mentioned, that's what Abchaim Alojana says. He doesn't Chaim Volozhin was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, so he's always attacking the Hasidim whenever he has an opportunity to. So he says that he doesn't understand how the Hasidim say Kiddush over a glezel l'shnaps on Shabbos morning. He said, did you ever hear a person saying Kiddush over a bowl of soup? Schnapps is soup. He says, it's bichlal, not a beverage. You have to have a kos. A kos means a beverage. You discuss, does it have to have this beverage, that, but it has to be a beverage. He says, what, even though you're drinking it in a cup, but he says you can drink soup in a cup also. Now a lot of times they serve the soup in a cup at their wedding. So he says it does make a difference whether they serve it in a cup or they serve it in a bowl. The question is, do you drink it as a beverage or do you eat it as a food? So he says schnapps is a liquid food. Schnapps is not a beverage. And they quote from Chassidish Rabbeim, one of the famous Chassidish Rebbes wrote a commentary on Mishnah's Taras, where he writes that the Kozhik Lover has a tshuva. The Kozhik Lover is killed by the Nazi. He has a tshuva, so he quotes from the Kamarna. The Kamarna Rebbe writes in his commentary on Mishnah's Taras about schnapps. He says that the shear for schnapps for bracha achreina is kazayis. It's not a revius. He says because it's an eichel, it's not a mashke. The Chassidish Rebbe has also said it's an eichel, it's not a mashke. So that's our time alojin time. So the Kozhik Lover writes that's why there's no problem of a revius. You can say kiddush over a little glezel of schnapps because all you need is a kazayis because it's an eichel and it's not a mashke. So the shear is not a revius. The shear is kazayis. So Abchaim Elojan Atayin is Adarabe. Once you say that it's an Oichal, so how can you make Kiddush over a bowl of soup? It has to be a mashke, it has to be a beverage in order to say. So this idea that the Maam Shik has and the Achreinim have, they say from this Gemara you see that a raw egg is an Oichal. It's not only in the context of the two Gzeiras Derabbanan, a toss-up, should I declare that a Beit Shenol that belongs to the Gzeira Mashke Shazavu, or should be part of the Gzeira of Peres HaNoshrim, is not just going to get to this, that the Amora says it makes more sense to put it under the Gzeira of Oichos. It's on the level of Deraisa, going to get to Dinim Deraisa also, that the difference in definition between an Oichal and a Mashke is not whether it's a liquid or a solid, not how easily it pours, how viscous it is, but rather whether it's a meichel or it's a beverage.
Halacha meichel, what does one do about making kiddush on Shabbos?
You're not supposed to use it. It's just wine.
Wine, you make a wine.
Chaim Balogina says he can't. He says he can't. That's what he said. He can't make kiddush on Shabbos. He says like a bowl of soup. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he talks about what's considered a chamam adina. The din is that on Friday night you got to make kiddush over either wine or challah. Shabbos morning, you can make kiddush over chamar medina. If it's a mashka choshuv, and then the medina is your mechabit guest with it. So Moshe has a whole tshuva, soda, water, tea, coffee, this, that, he has a whole tshuva. Then he writes in the last paragraph, he knows who he's writing to, someone in America, yes, Michelle, someone in New York, yes. So he says, but I don't know what part of the world do you live in? Because the din is that you're only allowed to make kiddush on Shabbos morning or Havdalah on Matzoy Shabbos. You can only make kiddush on Havdalah on Chamar Medina if Yayin is not Matzoy. So he says, what shech? What part of the world do you live in that Yayin is not Matzoy? If you ran out of wine, knock on the next door neighbor's door. Go down the block. Somebody always has wine. In Europe, they say the Chofetz Chaim most of the time said Kiddush over Challah. He couldn't afford to have wine. There were countries that they couldn't afford. They didn't have wine. It wasn't available. But Rav Moshe writes, in America, what's shaykh to say that you should have a cooler to make Kiddush over Chamar Medina? If Yain is Matzah, B'chlai, you're not allowed to use Chamar Medina for Kiddush over Avdol. That's Rav Moshe's Taina. On what? You should say Bari Pri Hoetz. Why? Because it's a Michael Hastings. He holds that it's not a mashke. I mean, people don't drink it when they're thirsty. It's like a soup. What? He holds that it's like a soup. It's like borscht. The Achreinim talk about borscht. The Prima Gadim says there are two kinds of borscht. Sometimes they make borscht and people drink it as a beverage, as a mashke. And other times the borscht is a little thicker. They put in sour cream or whatever, eggs. So then obviously it's like a soup. So then it's Bar Priya Adama. It depends whether it's thick or not.
Is there any difference from making kiddush over grape juice or wine? Is there more chivas to make over wine than over grape juice?
Yeah. Making Kiddush over grape juice the way we have grape juice.
Yes.
Our kind of grape juice is a big problem. Some Gedolim held that our grape juice is shahakol.
Right.
That it's bechlal not, because they cooked it in order to prevent it from ever fermenting. They treated it chemically in such a way that it can never turn into wine. So the Gemara says that grape juice is bor pihoe, bor piagofen, and you can use it for a kiddush and for havdalah. The Gemara says sechot al demeshkel shalanovim. A person can squeeze out an erev Shabbos. He can squeeze out an erev Shabbos a cluster of grapes, and then use that grape juice to make it. He just squeezed it out an hour ago. So many poskim, some poskim, not many, some poskim hold that that's only by midrash mamurim. That kind of grape juice, if you let it sit long enough, a couple of weeks, it'll turn into wine. So I drink it up before it gets a chance to turn into wine. So that's bar pi hoetz, and that's good for bar pi agofen, and that's good for kiddush and avdalah. But if you have grape juice that you treat it chemically in such a way that it's never gonna ferment and turn into wine, it may spoil. If you leave it long enough, it'll spoil. But it's never gonna ferment, turn into wine. So others hold that that's not considered yayin at all, and the bracha is.
In Europe we used to
apparently historically the first one to paskin that the grape juice is good for abacosis. The first one is said in America that grape juice that's treated chemically is yayin and is bar piagofen was Professor Louis Ginsberg from the Jewish Theological Seminary. Historically he was the first one. During the prohibition years, when the government didn't permit people to make their own alcoholic beverages unless it was necessary for sacramental purposes. So a lot of people, achsidim, other people, were making their own wine, and they said sacramental purposes. They did for kiddush and avdalah and abikosis. So he masa to the government, that's the way they documented it, and he said that they don't really need it for sacramental purposes because strict, according to the Jewish law, they can just as well make kiddush and avdalah and abikosis and grape juice. So at that time, when he published his essay that grape juice is just as good for kiddush and avdalah, so there was a big Talmud Chacham, I think he lived in Connecticut, I forgot his name, or in upstate New York, I forgot already. He was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, so he published the whole essay, and he attacked Ginsberg without mentioning him by name. He refers to him as the Rosh HaKaroyim. And he calls them they used to spell Karayim are those who didn't accept the Torah Shabbat.
Yeah.
They only accepted the Torah Shabbat.
Yeah.
So he refers to him, he doesn't mention my name, he says the Rosh HaKaroyim, and he spells Karayim Kufrei Shayin. And because in Europe they used to call Karayim Kereshein Mesache, it was a tear that's never going to be sewn up again. The Karayim made such a rip and the Klal Yisrael is never going to straighten out. So he refers to the conservatives as the Karayim. He says that Shagetz, we're going to rely on him, and he has a whole essay in the Sefer. He wrote a commentary, I forgot the name. He wrote a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvos LaHaRambam. This Rav, I forgot his name right now. He was a Talmid of the Chafetz Chaim, and he argues the point. He says that that the grape juice is shahakol, and it's not bar piagofen at all. Many years later, Rav Moshe also passed him that it's bar piagofen. Many years later.
There's no chashivas. Let's say when we turn Abdullah, we need something chashivas. I mean, grape juice is less chashiva than orange juice.
Why
is
it
right?
It's only for children. So how can you sit down on the Yom Tov then and add it in the best man here, you have to treat it?
That's the shot. So the din is, if it's really yayin, if it has a din of yayin, you don't need chashiva. If you have something bimkom yayin, so then it has to be chamar medina zach mit chashiva. So that's the question, is it really yayin? So sometimes that it's not. Rav Henkin also said like that it's a hakol. Rav Henkin has written, published in his Svarim, that on grape juice, he says, Sha'akon liya b'dvar. The Shaila was another thing. Are you allowed to drink regular grape juice that was made by the Goyim? Because the Goyim handle it. The Goyim handle the regular grape juice. So the Shaila was, is there an Iser of Maga
Hanochri?
So somehow that is Mamish water at Sha'akon liya b'dvar, and the Maga Hanochri doesn't ask. That was part of the Machlekes there. That was part of the Machlekes, that drinking Welch's grape juice.
Now
it has an OU. Why? Because they cook it before the Nachrim even handle it. I think they cook it before they squeeze it out.
Yeah.
They cook it in the state of grapes. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that also. If they cook it before they make it into grape juice, then it doesn't become, then even if the Nachrim, the magan achri on yayim mevushal does nasa. So here they cook it before they even squeeze it out. So everything is already mevushal. Okay, so that's what the Gemara has so far. Then the Gemara asks, V'Rav Yitzchak, my time alama ki Rav Yosef. Rav Yitzchak insists that the Beitza Shenolda Aliba de Beis Hillel is part of a different gzera. It's part of the gzera of Mashpah Shazohu. It's not part of the gzera of Peres Hanoshim. Aye, but the raw egg is the Hamaychel. Wouldn't it make more sense to say, like Rav Yosef said, that the Beitza Shenolda should be part of the gzera of Peres Hanoshim? Anoichel with Anoichel. Why does he insist that it's part of Mashpah Shazohu? So the Gemara says no. Amalach. So Yitzchak will argue to you, no. Mashkin shezavu. What does he say? Beitza belua mashkin belum lapuket peris the megalu v'kaimu. The peris are growing on the tree. The apple is there on the tree. You can see it. It's exposed. It's megalu. So how can you compare a beitza that's belua inside the tanagolus until the moment that the hen lays the egg? It's belua inside. So that's more comparable. The Beitza Shenolda looks much more similar to the Mashkin Shezovu, that the Mashkin are inside the pre
potential to come out.
Yeah, as opposed to the Peres Hanoshim, that it's Megula on the tree. Shain, that's it. So the Gemara gave the four reasons.
Why did the Gemara here just last piece just talk about Rav Yosef and Rav Yosef, and then doesn't say why Rabbi doesn't hold like them? Why just compare the two of them?
That's easy. Rabbi holds it's an issa deraisis. He doesn't need these peanuts. But what does he need these funny reasons for?
Yeah.
Rab Nachman and Rabbi, they have real shitas. Rab Nachman is a shver. He says the Mishnah goes up Tana goes up medicine gabel beitzim, and he holds that Noilat Gomer is also dependent on. But Rab Nachman has a real reason. These are funny. The third and the fourth are funny. Here is a shaila. You see from this Gemara Beferish that these are two separate gzeres. The Mashkin Shazavu and Peres Hanoshim are two separate gzeres, and they're arguing. Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yosef are fighting. Does it belong? Does the Beit Shenolda belong under this, or does it belong under that?
But they both hold
both. The general.
Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak are both moed in both gzeres.
Yeah. They're two different mishnayos. Yeah. That's one mishnah. That's another mishnah. But they're two different. They're two different gzeres. That's a shot. There's a Ramban later, where the Ramban is commenting on the mishnah. The Mishnah Chav Dalet Amin Aleph has a din like this. Let's say somebody set up a net, he set up a trap on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Let's say Erev Yontif, Erev Shabbos, and can't shecht any animals anyway on Shabbos. But let's say Erev Yontif, the person set up a trap, and on his way to Shul on Erev Yontif, he looks and he sees that the animal didn't get caught yet. Then he comes on Yontif in the daytime, daytime, he finds a fish got caught, a deer got caught. So he wants to know, is he allowed to shecht that deer and eat it on Yom Tov? So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. If it was nitzod mibod yom, if it was caught in the trap, Erev Yom Tov, then it's okay. Then it's not muktzah, you're allowed to eat it, no problem. But if it's nitzod on Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to eat it. And then the Mishnah has the machloikah, sofik muchan. What if a nochri brings me an animal, nochri brings me peris, and I don't know, when did he pluck off the peris from the tree? Maybe he plucked it off on Yom Tov. So it's a machlokes hatanaim about sofik muchan, sofik muktze. What's the deal?
Sure.
So the question is on that mishnah: why are you not permitted to eat the fish or the deer or the animal that was caught on Yom Tov? What's the prohibition? On Shabbos you can't shecht it. There's no shabbos. Huh?
It came available now.
You don't know.
You're not allowed to. I'm not allowed to do tzeid on Yom Tov, but I set it up on Erev Yom Tov. I set it up on Erev Yom Tov. Am I permitted to set up a net on Erev Shabbos that the animal should get caught on Shabbos? And that's a machlokes b'sham and b'silu. At the end, even if there's not enough time, that's about bringing my shirts into the laundry. That's a different deal. If I bring my automobile to the goy, automobile mechanic, if there's enough time to do it Erev Shabbos, and even if he decides to do it on Shabbos, that's mutter. That's a different story. No. But here, I'm not even asking the Nachri to do a malacha. I set up a system whereby the malacha happens by itself on Shabbos. So that's a machlokes b'sham and b'silu. Are you allowed to set up a system where a malacha is going to occur on Shabbos? So we pass him that it's mutter. So I'm permitted to set up a system that the animals are going to get caught. Shabbos clock. Okay, set a Shabbos clock and it goes on Shabbos. So we say
it's mutter.
Beishame holds that there's a prohibition of Shvisas Kelim. We pass him. No, we pass him. There's no Shvisas Kelim. The Shvisas Kelim is Mutta. So that's a shaila. You're permitted to set up, even on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to set up a net that the animal should get caught on Shabbos. So what's up there? If an animal got caught on Yontov, why am I not permitted to shech that animal and to eat it? What's the yisa? So there's a Ramban there in Ein Sodim, the Ramban on the bottom of the Rif, in the Mohammeds, on Perek Ein Sodim, on Daf Chav Dalet, gives two pshatim. So one pshat is the Pashup pshat, a shaila for Muktzah. If it was a wild animal that was running around, if you have a tiny girl who's hamedes legadul beitzim, it's mukta. If you have a tiny girl who's hamedes lachila, then it's not mukta. Right? That's what we had on the first day.
Right.
If it's hamedes lachila, it's called doichel. If it's hamedes legadul beitzim, then it's mukta because it's not. You didn't have in mind that it should serve as an oichel. So the same over here. The animals that are running around, how can you say that it's hamed lachila? They're wild animals running around. So Eresh got caught on Yontem. So the Ramban says one pshat that that's mukta. Then he gives another pshat. But what if you don't believe in Muktzah? What if you all like
Yeshiva? It just fell from heaven. Just like the pear didn't fall off before. It fell off on this day. You cannot lose it. The same thing the fish.
So that's the second
water,
shot. That's the second shot in the Ramban. The second shot is we know that there's a gzeira the Rabban that you're not allowed to eat mashkin and shezavu and peris and oishrim, etc. And he lumps it all together. This is one big zera. Whenever a malacha occurred by itself, that's the din. You're not allowed to get hanoah from that malacha. You're not allowed to be nene. The malacha Shabbos, even though the malacha happened by itself. Let's say if a nachri did a malacha for his own purposes, the case the Gemara has in Shabbos, the boat landed on Shabbos, and on the boat there are Jews and non-Jews. And then one of the guys made a plank. He banged nails in, he built the whole thing. They didn't have luck. Today they just roll it over. And you come by plane, they roll over the thing. Then they didn't have, so every time every boat was different. So they had a report was different. So they had to bang in nails and do a malacha of. Right.
Yeah,
so if they, so if you, if the Nachri builds a kevesh, a ram, for his shviger, or for the melech, the goy, for goyim, he's making it for goyim. So he did it for a goy, so the Jews are allowed to go up. The Nachri knew that the chief rabbi was coming on the boat, and then the Gemara says maybe he had in mind the chief rabbi, maybe he did it for the Yid. But if we know the Nachri also malach b'shvil Nachri, so the Yid is permitted to be nana from it. But what if the Nachri did the malach b'shvil Yisrael? Then you're not allowed to be nana from it. The Gemara in Shabbos doesn't say what if the malach was done not for a Yid and not for a goy.
Vidas gemolt. Depends on the role. What do you have?
So if he did it for a group of people, then it depends on the role. He turns on the lights so all the people in the room can see. So the people in the room, they're Jews and non-Jews. So whoever the right is kaver. What's the din if a malacha was done not for a Jew and not for a goy? How could that be not for a Jew? Who did he have in mind? Let's say malacha happened by itself. The Paris HaNoshim. A malacha occurred, a malacha of Kotzer occurred. Not for the Jews, not for the Goyim. Nobody did it. It happened by itself. Or Mashkan Shazov. A malacha occurred of Seichei told it the Dosh. Schita told it the Dosh. It happened by itself. Not for the Jews, not for the Goyim. Or you set up traps and the animal got caught. So nobody did the malacha. Ooh, the animal did the malacha. Nobody did the malacha. So the Tzedah occurred not for a Jew, not for a Goyim. So what's the din? When the halacha says that if the Nachri did a malacha, Bishvil Nachri, you're permitted to be nana. If the Nachri did the malacha b'shul, you say not allowed to be nana. Is the fort, if it's done b'shul Yisrael, then it's also to be nana. If it wasn't done b'shul Yisrael, then it's mutter to be nana. Or do you say no? A malacha that happens on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be nana. Unless the malacha was done b'shul Nachri, that's a heter. But if it wasn't done b'shul Nachri, if it happened by itself, it was neither done b'shul Yisrael nor b'shul Nachri, then it's also. That's a shaila. So the Ramban has this wild kiddush. He says, like you said, he says that Peiris on Noshrim, Mashkin Shazavu, etc., it's all the Zelda Gzeira. It's not two different Gzeira. It's all the same Gzeira included in that. In other words, what? A Malacha Shanasis Meileho. Lo Bishvila Yisova, Lo Bishvila Nachri. You're not allowed to be Nen on Shabbos. You have to wait till after Shabbos. So, Meile, if the animals get caught in the nets on Yontif or on Shabbos you can't shecht it anyway. But let's say on Yontif it gets caught, you're not allowed to be nene from the malach of tzedah that happened by itself. Ramban generalizes the whole thing. So,
she's a kelim.
No malach of the
No, let's say the balabaster puts up food that's let's say the balabaster lights candles, or the balabaster puts up food and it gets cooked on Shabbos. So you don't say that's a malacha she'nasas me'leho. That's not nasas me'leho. That's called a malacha she'osa Yisrael me'erev Shabbos. The Israelis lights the candles on Erev Shabbos as considered as if, and the Mukhi Yosef and Baba Kama says that, I consider it as if the whole malacha hadlokas kol aner occurred on Erev Shabbos. Because the person lit the candles on Erev Shabbos, and the mail I know it's going to continue, so it's considered as if the whole ner was done on the day you saw my Erev Shabbos. Or it's considered as if the whole, what was the other case, cooking the food. It's considered as if the entire bishul was done by the Yisrael on Erev Shabbos. So that's not an issue of nenim and malacha shenasas the Shabbos. That's considered a malacha shenasas the Erev Shabbos. But what if it happened by itself? What if you have a case where the fish went in by themselves, or the wild animals went in by themselves? So the Ramban claims in the second shot. The first part, he says, Muktzah, that's how Rashi and Tosfos learn. Shaila Muktzah, and the question is, but there are Tanoim who don't believe in Muktzah, so how are they going to learn the Mishnah? So the Ramban works on that. Tosfos works on it, the Ramban works on it. Then the Ramban is another pshat. No. The Metzuras Chayv Yofi Dogim, Shenit Sodom, Bi Yontif, Arasa Te'i, not because of Muktzah. Forget about the reason Muktzah. He has a different reason. Because of Malacha Shenasas Me'eleha, Bi Shabbos, Bi Yontif, is also to be nen, and he says that's the big zera mashkan shezavul peris andershim. It's all the same. So the shaila is, what does the Ramban do with our Gemara? The Gemara is the heferish fakir. They're two separate zeras. That's why they're fighting. Rav Yosi says it's part of this zera, Rav Yitzchak says part of that zera. So the Ramban will have to say that it's a machloikis amaroi. He can't say that everybody holds like him. These two amaroim, number three and number four amaroim, Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosi, they hold the heferish. These are two separate zeiras, and it won't include. It's not etc. It's not whenever malacha is nasas me'leho. It's included in the zeira. But the Ramban holds that the other amoroyim, the first and the second, Rav Nachman and Rabbi, who don't hold from three and four, they hold that mashkan shezav peres anoshim is one big zeira. And what are you going to say by beit shenolda malacha occurred? What's the malacha? There's no malacha by peres anoshim. That's a malacha of kotzir. The mashkan shezava, that's a malacha. If your person would have done it, that's a malacha of schita told the dosh. What's the beitzish and older? It's a malacha. Let's say I'll take the head and I'll fetch out the egg. What's malacha? So I'll make it come out. Unless I rip it out, unless I cause it to bleed or something like that. Maybe it's a malacha. But if it's on its way out and I just fetch it out a little bit, that's not a malacha. So according to the Ramban Mishnah, he will learn that what he's saying, that this is one big universal zera, any malacha shenasas me'leho the Shabbos, Yisrael is not allowed to be nene. That's only Aliba the Rav Yosef and Rabba. Who's the first one? Rav Nachman and Rabba, the first two mandarim, they're chaylik legamrei on the third and the fourth amoraim. They hold the mashkan shezav peres anoshim is not a separate zera. It's all one big zera. That whenever malacha nasas me'leho, you're not allowed to be nene. And they hold that's why it doesn't apply at all to Beit Shenolda. Beit Shenolda is nishkan. It's not at all an example of malacha shenasas me'leho.
And it could be from the philosophical question.
According to the Ramban, that's a shaila. What if I have a Shabbos clock and the light goes on Shabbos morning? So why don't you say you're not allowed to be nene from it?
But the clock was set before.
So the answer is that's not called a malacha shenasas me'leho. That's considered as if the one who set the clock did the whole malacha on Erev Shabbos. That's the Nemuki Yosef from Bava Kama. We consider it as if everything was done mid-bod yom on Erev Shabbos. But by the fish that are swimming, you can't consider it as if everything was done. But I set the nets on Erev Shabbos. It's still mechusa ma'aseh. The animal has to run into the net. It didn't run in. So that's not considered like I did the malacha. That's called the malacha shenasas me'leho.
It could be the answer that the kipshua, the kipshua does not chal on Shabbos. It only chal the whole week. So therefore, all the benefits that exist from the nature, we are not balim on Shabbos.
Okay.
Unless we are chadachon, there's anything in the middle, but we are chadachon. On Shabbos, we are not able to be.
Okay. Good. I remember many years ago the Rav had a comment on this sedrin, but I'm not sure where it says this in Shulchan Aruch. He said, "B'shem Rav Chaim Akasher." There's a din in the Gemara in the end of in Yevamis, and the end of Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza. So the Gemara has like this: sometimes you have a man is married and he dies and he leaves no children, so his wife is not permitted to remarry unless she has Chalitza. Sometimes the brother-in-law is going to hold her up for thousands of dollars, and he'll only perform the Chalitza if she pays him $25,000. Extortion. So you're not allowed to do that. Not allowed to do that. But so what if he did that? What if he did like that? He holds her up. He says he's not going to perform the chalitza unless she gives him 25. So she has no prayer. So she agrees under duress. So the Gemara says that she doesn't have to pay the $25,000. She only has to pay what's a reasonable amount of money. So the Gemara gives a mashal ma'adav adayma. Let's say a person is running away from the Nazis. They're out to kill him. A Jew is running away. He comes to the ferry and has to go across the river. If he stays here, they're going to kill him. And the ferry has a big sign, $5 to take you across the river. The ferryman knows that he's running away to save his life. So he says, today the price is $5,000, take it or leave it. If you don't want to pay $5,000, I'm not going to take it across. So he agrees to pay him $5,000. So the Gemara says, when he goes across, all he has to give him is the $5 fee, and Hatna Guten Tag and Goodbye. Why? Because that's the price. That's the correct price. Just because you agree under duress to a higher price, it's not binding. So he said, that Rav Chaim, the Rav said something, I never understood it, so that's why I'm just saying, well, I don't understand. So he said, Rav Chaim, effect Akasha, Yankov and Esav were brothers. So Esav came home, he was absolutely exhausted. He was ready to faint. He's fainting. So he says, I'm starving, give me some food. So he says, I'm going to charge you a price. So he says, whatever you pay, I'll be happy to give. So then he says, I want the b'chayra. The b'chayra? That's way more than the value. So if he would agree to give him $5 for a supper, $10, $20, $20 is a mehecha taste.
But if he agrees, it's okay.
So the kasha is what he's polishing. So he agrees.
But he didn't hold
then much. He should finish eating. Then he should finish eating and say, have a nice day, here's $20 and a $5 tip and goodbye.
But he didn't hold from the point of view.
Okay. So this is where Rav Chaim, he says, the Rav said, Rav Chaim is such a kasha. So he says, the teretz is, as we all know, that's what I think he said, the teretz is, as we all know, there's a din of chosh mishpat, but I never found a din. Maybe it is there. So he said, when do you have such a din that after he renders the services, you only have to pay the going rate? That's only if that's all he did. He said, I'll take it across in the ferry, and it normally costs $5. He said, now I want $25,000, take it or leave it. All he did was he took him across. Let's say, if you want to go across in the ferry, it costs $25,000. And he says, okay. So then he says, okay, I'm going to carry your valises. I'm gonna carry you on. He does more than is the normal thing. So if he does more, if he said in advance, I'm going to take it across the ferry, he said, I'll take it across and it'll cost $25,000. That's all he does. He takes him across, then you only pay $5. But if he did more services than he promised in advance, and the other fellow accepted it, the guy's running away from the Nazis, accepted all the services. Yes. So since he accepted the additional services, I don't know, the Rav said it's a din of Shulchan Aruch. I never found it. He said, then you have to. So he said over here, the Pasuk says, he says that he gave him lechem and nezid adoshin. That originally he only promised to give him the nezid adoshin, but later it says that he delivered more. Then it says vayochel vayesh. He not only gave him the nezid adoshin, he gave him a drink also. He delivered much more than he promised in advance. So he said that's the din of Shulchan Aruch, that if you deliver more than you promised in advance, then the fact that the other fellow accepted it is an indication that he's masking to pay the full amount. So that's why the deal on the Bechara was binding. I don't know, so I just pointed out.
Gentlemen, we have an individual from Bet El, Yedidya Atlas, wants to say a few words about Bet El.
Huh? Did
learned the first Mishnah in Beitzah that a Beitzah should not be yontif. There's a machlekes beishame bisil whether you're permitted to eat the Beitzah. So we paskan like the Beisilu that you're not permitted to eat the Beitzah. Loy teyocha. The Gemara gives four reasons that Amoraim didn't know. What's the reason why Beisilu losses the Beitzah? So we first had Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that it's a shaila of muktzah. We're only talking about a Beitzah shenolda from a tiny girl is on edis legabel Beitzah. If you have a tiny girl is on edis lachila, on yontif you can shecht it the hen. If it's on edis lachila you can shecht it. It's not muktzah. On Shabbos it will be muktzah. A yontif is not going to be muktzah. So then it's going to be yuchla difference. The Beitzah that comes out from the Beitzah is edible and the tiny girl is theoretically edible. All you have to do is shecht it. So then it's called oichel shenifrad mei oichel. That's not called mukta, it's not called nav. That's like you take a challah and you slice off a piece of challah. So here you have a tiny girl, Sameres Machila, has the same oichel. And then you separate, you detach a beitza from that, that's uchla difras, that's oichel shnifrat me oichel, that wouldn't be a problem. Hocham maskinon, the Mishnah is only talking about tiny girl, Sameres Ligadol Beitzin. So the Bala tiny girl doesn't have in mind that he's going to shecht it on yontif. So then the tiny girl is not oichel, it's not labeled as oichel if he doesn't have in mind. So then all of a sudden, yesh me'ayin, so to speak. It's not, literally, it's not yesh me'ayin, it's yesh me'yesh, but ki'ilu, it's yesh me'ayin. Beitza comes out from a non-oichel, so that's mamish noilad gomor. So Rav Nachman holds that noilad gomor, you have an oichel, comes out from a non-oichel, that's an issue of muktzah, machlekes satanoim, whether you hold from muktzah or not, and that's the machlekes b'sham and b'silu. And we paskin on yontif, on Shabbos we paskin like Reb Shimon, that we make all, there's no issue of muktzah, this kind of issue of muktzah. And on yontif we machmer that muktzah is also man de islay muktzah islay noilad. The tanoim who hold from muktzah hold from noilad, so that's bisul shi. That was Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman interprets the Mishnah is only talking about a special case where the tanegirlis is amedis legadol beis. The other Amoraim are not too happy about that. How can you take a Mishnah? Is that sign that it's only a special case? It doesn't say special case. So Rabbah comes with a whole different shot. That it's an issue of hachonah. There's a din, the oraisa, that if you have food that was prepared on yontif for Shabbos, or food that was prepared on Shabbos for yontif, then on the second day, whether the second day of Shabbos, second day is yontif, you're not allowed to eat such food. Food that was improperly prepared may not be eaten on the second day. Food, let's say, if someone prepared food on Shabbos for weekdays, so that was improperly prepared also, you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for the weekdays. But the weekdays there's no mitzvah sachila to say that you're not yaitzeh the mitzvah sachila on Sunday or Monday because the food was improperly prepared. But on Shabbos and Yontif there's a chashivas to the achila, so the achila has to be food that was not improperly prepared. So if you have a beitzah that's noilad one day, we assume that's how Rabbah assumes the biological fact. Called beitzah the misyalda ho'idna, if the beitzah is born today, the hen lays the egg today, we assume the esmol gomorla must have been completed yesterday. So if you have Shabbos next to Yontif, Shabbos Yontif asmuchim zelazeh, whether the first day of Shabbos, second day Yontif. In other words, Yontif, whether Yontif falls out on Friday or on Sunday, so if you have 2 days, shnei yam and mikudoshim smuchim zelazeh, so the beitzah that's nolda on the second day was completed inside the me'ei hatanegoilus yesterday. So that's an improper achon. You can't say who did an aveira, who did something wrong. It happens automatically b'day shamayim. Nonetheless, that's what Rabbah holds. That's called an improper achon. We're not pointing a finger and blaming anybody that they did an aveira, but still, that's called improperly huchan. Oichol shehuchan miyontav l'shabbos, Shabbos yontav is an improper achon. And the sudas on Shabbos yontav have to be sudas chashuvas, has to have a proper achon. And you're not allowed to eat it. Shein, that's Rabbah's din. So then the Gemara asks, but the Mishnah doesn't say Beitzah shenolda biyontav hasam machal shabbos. Just a Beitzah shenolda biyontav. Stam. The Mishnah sounds like one day yontav and it's born on the first day yontav. It's not that it's a yontav after Shabbos, Shabbos after yontav. So the Gemara says you're right. The din the araisa of Rabbah only applies when it's 2 days one next to the other. In other words, Shabbos yontav is either on Friday or on Sunday, and the Beitzah is nolda on the second of the 2 days. And the din in the Mishnah that it's also even a regular Shabbos, even a regular Yontav Beitzah Shenolda, that's a Gzeira de Rabbanon, a Gzeira Otu, Shabbos v'Yontav Asmuchim Zalazeh. That was the second reason. There's what the question and the second reason, the Gemara is going to say, that's called improperly Hucham. What are you blaming the Rabbanon Shalom, that the Beitzah was completed on the first day for the second day? So the other Amoraim are not so happy about that. How can you call that improper achora? But that's Rabbi's opinion. So if you don't like Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman's opinion really is not accepted. We don't paskin like Rav Nachman, the man da leislei mukta leislei noilad. We paskin that everybody holds from noilad goma. So if you don't accept Rav Nachman, then we taka don't accept. And if you're not so thrilled about what Rabbi, we do pass like Rabbi, but the other Amorim are not so thrilled about Rabbi to call this improperly Huchan. So by time of the Beisilu, so why did Beisilu Taka prohibit? So that's what we're up to in the Gemara. Gemara has another two explanations. So two lines from the bottom of base on the base is Azai, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef disagrees, and he gives a different explanation for the Beisilu. Rabbi Yosef Amar, it's Gzeira Midirabonon, it's not like Rabbi made it into Adin Derais. Din deraisa, it's not going to be. It's a din derabbanan. What's the din derabbanan? There is a din on Shabbos that you're not allowed to pluck off fruits from the tree. That's the malach of kotzer. Let's say you have tzvuas growing and you harvest it with a sickle, or you pluck off apples from the tree. So that's the malach of deraisa of kotzer. So not only are you not permitted to rip off on Shabbos, you're not allowed to rip off on Yom Tov either. So that's already a question. Why not allowed to rip off on Yom Tov? What if I want to rip off the banana to eat the banana? I want to rip off the fruits to eat the fruit on Yom Tov. There is a din of Eichel Nefesh. On Shabbos, I know there's no heter Eichel Nefesh. I understand you're not allowed to. So that's what Tesis is going to discuss. Tesis is going to discuss that. What's wrong with ripping off the big Tesis on Gimel Amar Aleph? What's wrong with ripping off the apples on Yom Tov? What happened to Stach HaPasik and Chumash? Achashe Yochel Luchal Nevesh. But the Gemara is assuming that you're not allowed to rip off Paris on Yom Tov, despite the fact that you have an idea of Eichel Nevesh. Not only are you not allowed to rip off on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we make a Gzeira de Rabbanon. What if apples fell down by themselves on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Fell down by itself. I didn't do any malocha. A malocha happened by itself. So what's the din? So we make a Gzeira de Rabbanon. That's Mishnah like that. That's a Mishnah in the middle of Psochim. Of all places, a Mishnah in the middle of Psochim, in the middle of Perach Mach Mishnagu, it lists off the six things that Danchi Yericho did. And the Tanaim were unhappy about them. So I think one of them was about the Paris on Oshim. That the Paris that fall down on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they used to eat the Paris, and it's against the Gzeres HaTanaim that you're not allowed to eat the Paris. Gzeres HaMeyalavi Yitlush. We don't allow you to eat the Paris on Oshim, Me'alehem, the fruits that fell down by themselves on Shabbos and Yom Tov, lest you'll forget and rip it off. So the Gemara says over here, Let's see. The din deraisa is that you're not allowed to rip it off on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Sounds like it's an isa deraisa to rip off on Yom Tov also. Yeah. That's what we're going to have to discuss. It sounds like there's an isa deraisa to rip off fruits on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. The same isa deraisa. And then there's an isa derabanan, even pears that fell off by themselves. You're not allowed to eat it, lest you get carried away with yourself and you want another banana, another apple, and you rip it off also. And now there's a gzeira l'gzeira. If a hen lays an egg on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that looks a little bit like a Paris on Eshem, like the apple that fell off in the tree. You're not going to eat the tree, but you want to eat the apple. So here, the egg fell out from the hen. So we don't allow you, that's how the Gemara starts off. Then the Gemara is going to touch it up. So we don't permit you to eat the Beitz HaShenolda from the hen, because that may mislead you to eat Paris on Eshem, which in turn may mislead you to rip off the fruits from the tree.
But now there's no chilik what kind of chicken it is anymore, right?
So now it does not make a difference. Right, now it doesn't make any difference.
Do we make
it
zero like zero?
So that's the Gemara's kasha. That's exactly Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar, two lines from the bottom where Rav Yosef Amar, Gzeira Mishum Paris on Ocean. We don't allow Paris that fell off from the tree by themselves. We don't allow you to eat it. That's Gzeira Shemiyala V'Yitloish. So here you're not allowed to eat the Beitz HaShenol, the Gzeira of the Paris HaNoshim, which itself is Gzeira Shemiyal. Om Alei Abayis. Abayi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. So he says, Paris HaNoshim, time am I. What's the reason why you're not allowed to eat Paris HaNoshim? What is it? And he said, there, I said, no, that itself is only Gzeira Shemiyal of Yitlosh. Perfect Akash Higu for Gzeira, that itself is only Gzeira. Anan Nekim and Igza Gzeira L'Gzeira. How can you make Gzeira L'Gzeira? We have a Pasuk. How do you know the Chachamim were authorized Bichlal to make Gzeira Derabbanan? Who gave them the right to make Gzeira Derabbanan? Anytime they make an Issa Derabbanan, should be an Issa Bal Taisif. We have in the American Constitution or synagogue constitutions, so it says, and if you want to make amendments to the Constitution, it says how much of a majority you have to have, whatever. You have they keep on making amendments to the American Constitution. In the Torah, we have all the mitzvahs, then it says Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. It says no amendments. You're not allowed to add anything on it. You're not allowed to take anything off. No amendments to this constitution. So how can the Chachamim add on any Dinim Derabbanan? There should be a violation of Bal Tosif. All the Rishonim asked that kasha. So they point out the Gemara asked that kasha. The Rishonim point out the Gemara asked that kasha. The Gemara gives the answer without asking kasha. But it's understood that that's the kasha. Shouldn't it be a violation of Bal Tosif? So the Gemara answers in Yevamos that we have a pasuk in Chumash. It's the last pasuk, I think, in Parshas Achrei Mos. Ushmatem is mishmati. Levilti asos mechukas ha'teves ha'shanas ha'lefnechem, etc. So ishmatem is mishmati means asu mishmeres ha'mishmati. So the pasuk is authorizing the chachamim. That's another question. Where does it say authorizing the chachamim? It sounds like it's a din to each and every individual. It's also a kasha. That's a good kasha that the Mefarshim talk about. But that's how the Chazal understand here. Shmartim es mishmarti, asu mishmeres mishmarti, aseis yog la Torah. The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, aseis yog la Torah, is based on this pasuk. Based on this pasuk. In fact, the Vilna Gaon writes that, why is it called Pirkei Avos? So the first Rashi on Bava Kama writes, you have Arba Avos Nezikin. So why is it called, what's Avos and what's Tolda? Shor, Bor, Mabe, Heber, what's an Av and what's a Tolda? So Rashi writes, whatever it says in Chumash Beferish, that's an Av. Whatever doesn't say Beferish, that's a Tolda. If it has the same din as the Av, it has the same property, similar, but it's not written explicitly, that's a Tolda. So the Vilna Gaon has in his Biur on Pirkei Avos, the first comment he says, why is it called Avos? So he says, because everything says in Chumash. Everything in Pirkei Avos says Beferish and Chumash. So every Mishnah he gives in the Marmakim is not a Chumash in Tanakh. So on every Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Bir Agro gives you where is the Pasuk in Tanakh that says that. It's on the first Mishnah. It says, Hey, Mamma Shlosha Dvar, Masay Siog La Torah. The Makar is a Shmatam es Mishmarti, Asum Mishmaris la Mishmart. That's not Beferish, but it's implied. That's what you understand from this Pasuk. So the Pasuk implies. Asu mishmeres l'mishmart, you should make a gzeira to prevent people from violating an isa deraisa, but you're not authorized to make a gzeira l'gzeira. Money, got to make a gzeira l'gzeira, that'll be a violation of Bal Tosif. Yeah, that's the Gemara asks on Takonis. Gzeiras and Takonis are two different things. Gzeira derabanan is you're afraid people on Shabbos, you're not allowed to write with the right hand. So, but you're permitted to write with the left hand. It's kalachayad, aydeshini. You're not allowed to carry in a rishus ramad. You're allowed to carry in a karmelit. So the chachamim were afraid if you'll allow people to write with the left hand, the next step will be they'll write with the right hand. If you'll permit people to carry a karmelit, the next step will be they'll carry on the highway. And the rishus ramad deraisis. And they made exera, you're not allowed to do a malacha kalachayad, and you're not allowed to carry in a karmelit, lest it lead to the avera chamura deraisis. That's Gzeira. And all the Gzeiras, the Chacham were authorized to make Gzeiras based on this Pasuk, Mishmartem es Mishmartem. Then it came a time, the Gemara says, the first Takana that they made was Mikra Megillah. That's how the Gemara says, all the Nevi'im and all the Chachamim in front of the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were making Gzeiras. They were making lots of Gzeiras in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they make Gzeiras. The Gemara presents it as if, we don't understand it, because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a Takana to learn Kriyas HaTorah. Every 3 days. So Moshe Rabbeinu gemachta takana. That's not a gzeira derabban. I don't know. But the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yudal, presents it kilu, the first time in the history of the world that they made a takana derabbanon was Mikra Megillah. They made a yontif of Purim, and they made a mitzvah. Mikra Megillah, Shalachman, it's Matalas Lavienim, it's Givon, Aganse, Mehume, Machloikis, it's Bal Tosif. Who authorized the Chachamim to make a takana? This is not a chashash. If you won't celebrate Purim as Hashara, that you eat chametz on Pesach. Hashara, you be Mechal Shabbos, what has it got to do? It's a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah sesi, you have a mitzvah slois sesi. So just like on the level of the Rais, you have mitzvah sesi, mitzvah slois sesi, on the level of the Rabbanon also, you say you have lois sesi with the Rabbanon, that's a gzera. That you're not allowed to carry in a karmelis. You're not allowed to write with your left hand. That's a lois sesi with the Rabbanon. Shevi al tasa. So that's a shmartem es mishmartem, asiyag, asu siyag later. But the Gemara asks, how were they authorized to make a takana derabbanan? That should be a violation of Bal Tosif. So now the Gemara gives the answer, either it's that pasuk, shalavich v'yagetcho, or another pasuk, there's some source or another. But the source for the Gzeiris is this pasuk. Right. You should do. Gzeiris, you're not allowed to do this because it'll lead you to violate an aver deraisa. Oh, so that's a shmartem as mishmarti, asum mishmaris l'mishmarti. But a takana is Bikumi, I say, a mitzvah says, and midrabbanon, so that the Gemara has to dig up a different marker, a different post. In fact, the Chazal comment on the pasuk we just had in yesterday said it. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. What does it mean? That not only did Avraham Avinu ki and kol haterakula all the dinim deraisa, he even observed the gzeiros. He even observed the gzeiros derabbanan, because they got it from the lashon vayishmor mishmarti. That's the same lashon as over here. Asu mishmeres lemishmarti. That has the connotation of a gzeiros derabbanan. So the Rashi on this daf, on base on base, Rashi points out that from that pasuk, Ushmartim es mishmarti, here the Rashi is about 8 lines from the bottom. Vod yaminim b'kulei, 10 lines from the bottom of the Rashi. Vod yaminim b'kulei hashas, when it says all over in the Talmud, Shein goz m'gzeira l'gzeira, mehai kro nafkir. It's learned that from this pasuk, the last concluding pasuk, in Parshas Achrimos, that says Ushmartim es mishmarti, and the connotation is asu mishmeres lemishmarti klaim and make gzeira lemishmarti. What does it mean? Lisoy rossi make a harchoka aseisiog la Torah, but lo mishmeres lemishmeres. But you're not authorized to make gzeira derabbanan if you're only afraid that people will violate an isa derabbanan. Shelo yasu gzeira legzeira. You're not allowed to. In the Prima Gora Madzan, in the Hakdamat Arachaim, the Psicha Kalelus. If the Bezim will go and make a gzera l'gzera, the Bezim will be in violation of Bal Taisiv. The Bezim is not authorized to violate Bal Taisiv. When the Torah says that they should make a gzera, then they have a right to make a gzera. If the Torah doesn't authorize them to, and they're going to make a gzera anyway, that's a violation of Bal Taisiv. So let's say they'll make a gzera on a milsa de la shchicha. They're afraid that if someone will blow his nose with a tissue, so somebody will do it once every 50 years, someone will do an avera. And they'll manufacture tissues on Shabbat. So if it's a far-fetched chashash, if you do this, once every 50 years someone will do an avera. So they have no right to make such a gzeira. A milsa de la shchicha, like goes the rabbanon, they have no right to. If they'll make a gzeira on a milsa de la shchicha, it's insufficient cause to make a gzeira de rabbanon. The bezim will be in violation of Bal Taisa. So to avir, this is also considered insufficient cause. If the bezim is concerned that if you'll allow this, people will go and violate an avera de rabbanon. Violating Aver Derabbanan is not permissible. That's not sufficient cause to institute a gzeira. If you're afraid, if you'll allow that, people will violate an Aver Deraisa, that's sufficient reason to institute a gzeira. But to be concerned, if you'll allow this, it'll mislead people into violating an Aver Derabbanan, that's called insufficient cause. Not every Terei Derabbanan is a gzeira l'gzeira. The Moshel, there's a famous Taz in Yerideya, in Simon Tzadik. The Taz makes a statement that we know is not correct. The Taz says, take for example, there's a machlokes atanayim if you cook chicken with milk. Is that basa b'cholav deraisa? Is that only basa b'cholav derabbanan? So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that chicken with milk is only basa b'cholav derabbanan. Chapsan afkemina, there are differences. If it's basa b'cholav deraisa, so it's also b'hanoa also. Let's say I'm a truck driver and I deliver basa b'cholav. So they pay me for delivering basa b'cholav. So the Gemara says that's a violation of Isuri Hanoa. You're not allowed to drive a truck and get paid for it. If you do it for nothing, it's okay. But if you drive a truck and you get salaried for doing a pa'ula with Isuri Hanoa, so that's called getting Hanoa from Isuri Hanoa. See, if I drive a truck and I deliver basa b'chol of their ice, I'm not allowed to get paid. But if I drive a truck and I just deliver chicken with milk, chicken that's cooked with milk, it's only basa b'chol d'rabbanon, that's mutabano, it's only osa b'achilah. And it's muta b'bishul also. Let's say, I remember the Rav said that someone was in the army and they put him in the kitchen and his job was to cook. So they told him he has to cook, fry the chicken and butter. So it's Gavan HaShaila. The din is loisav ashal gedi b'chalev. You're not allowed to cook basa b'cholov. Not only are you not allowed to eat basa b'cholov, that's what we think. You're not allowed to eat basa b'cholov. But in the Chumash, it doesn't even say you're not allowed to eat. It says the main pasuk says you're not allowed to cook basa b'cholov. So it says in Yerideya that to cook basa b'cholov is only us if it's basa b'cholov derais. If it's chicken with butter or chicken with milk, it's only basa b'chol d'rabbanan, it's mutter to cook it. So there's a difference between basa b'chol d'rais. It's not some theoretical Shabbos. So we pask on aloha ma'aseh that chicken with milk is only mid'rabbanan. Then it says in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, that basa b'chol d'rais is only if the two are cooked together. If they're not cooked together, then it's only basa b'chol d'rabbanan. So let's say, if I have, let's say, I make a sandwich, so I put a piece of salami and put a piece of cheese and I eat it together. That's only basa b'chol of the rabbanon. That's not basa b'chol of the rice. But the rabbanon, you have to wait.
Six hours.
6 hours is a minig already.
Yeah.
You have to wait 1 hour. That's assumed. That you have to wait 1 hour in between fleishiks and milchiks. That's a din de rabbanon. You have to wait 6 hours in between fleishiks and milchiks. That's only a minig. And it says in Dina Nachkemina Ladina. Let's say a person has a condition, and the Chreisi has ulcers, and he has to drink milk often for whatever they say milk cures the ulcers. I don't know, whatever it is, whatever the story is. He has some condition that he has to drink milk. So in order to violate, let's say a person has a condition, he has to eat basa b'cholov. He has to eat mamish basa b'cholov. When would you allow that? So to be mat, the real basa b'cholov there is only if there's a safek sakana. Only if the doctors think that he may die, unless he eats this, this may save his life. This either will save his life, it may save his life. So if you have a real safek sakana nefoshes, then and only then are you mat the basa b'cholov there is. To be mat the basa b'cholov there rabbanon, let's say that you shouldn't even have to wait an hour. So it says in the Mefarshim and the Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to be a chayla she'esh b'sakana. If he's a chayla she'ein b'sakana, is also mutar. Let's say he has chayla she'ein b'sakana, means he has a condition that's so severe, he has a sickness, that he pasha can't function normally. He has to lay in bed. He can't walk around. So he has to drink some milk to help his condition that he should be able to function normally. So if he has such a, if you have such a hechatimtza that the person mamish can't function normally, that's called a chayla she'ein b'sakana, and then you're permitted to violate basa b'cholav d'rabbana. But let's say 1 hour he can wait. The shayla is, though, the din requires he's supposed to wait 6 hours. That's a minig, and he doesn't have such a severe condition. But he taka has aches and pains. He has a bellyache. He doesn't, a bellyache is not so bad. A headache, whatever he happens to have, he has some kind of aches and pains that don't prevent him from functioning normally, so he's not called a chayla she'ein b'sakana, but he's a bari, a healthy person with a mechesh be'alma. So then the poskim say that that is sufficient to be mata the minig. The minig that you wait 6 hours, you don't have to be a chayla mesukan to be mata that. You don't have to be a chayla she'ein b'sakana. If he's just a mechesh be'alma, we're already mata the 6 hours. But the 1 hour, that's considered a drabanan, so that you have to have at least a chayla she'ein b'sakana. So there's such a Taz in Yeridei and Simon Tzadik, but the Taz writes up a strange statement, and all the Nosei Kelim say it's against the Gemara. Taz writes something to the effect. Let's say you'll have chicken with, I'll make a sandwich, chicken
cheese.
With cheese together. So he says that it's Gzeira L'Gzeira and it's Mutter. We know it's not true. Not only is it Asa to eat a sandwich, he says, if it's not cooked together, it's not basa b'chol of their rice. And if it's chicken, it's only derabbanan anyway. So it's a double derabbanan. So double derabbanan is mutter. A gzeira l'gzeira is mutter. So the Mefarsh Mishoh, the Dogma of Rabban, the Nadi Yehuda, and all the others, they say it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is beferish. Chicken, and it wasn't cooked in the milk, it's a beferish Gemara that you're not allowed to. So what's Taka the answer? Isn't the Taz right? Isn't that a gzeira l'gzeira? So the Achrayim explain, no, that has nothing to do with gzeira l'gzeira. There, each gzeira was instituted separately. The Chachamim made a gzeira d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to have chicken with milk because they were afraid if you'll allow people to have chicken with milk, you're going to have flesh with the milk. Then they made a separate gzeira. They made that gzeira chicken as fleshig with the rabbanan because they're concerned people may, it may lead people to violate basa b'chol of their rice. Then they made a din, you're not allowed to have flesh with the milk even though it wasn't cooked together. If you'll allow him to have a sandwich of salami with cheese, next thing is he's going to fry the salami with the cheese. So we don't allow that either. That's a gzera derabbanan. Even if it's not cooked together, we don't allow it a gzera that you will cook it together. Now you just add two and two, and you get four. You just say, they made a gzera derabbanan that chicken is milchi. Then they made a gzera derabbanan that you're not allowed to have basa b'chalav even if they're not cooked together. So no gzera, neither of the two gzeras was instituted because they were concerned someone's going to violate an aver derabbanan. Each one of these two gzeiras was instituted independently because the Chachamim were concerned someone's going to violate an Issa Deraisa. Now they happen to combine together. That's called a trade derabbanon. A trade derabbanon is taka less of an Issa than a chad derabbanon, but it's not the same as a gzeira l'gzeira. Gzeira l'gzeira is only when the motivation to make the gzeira derabbanon is oy gibald, we're concerned that someone's going to violate an aveira derabbanon. So because you're concerned that someone's going to violate an aver d'rabbanan is not sufficient. Tzorech. You have to have a tzorech gadol. If you have a milsa d'lashchicha, tzorech katan, a farfetch chashash that someone may violate an aver. So that they're not allowed to make a gzeira because of a milsa d'lashchicha. So here also, if the whole concern is that someone will violate an aver d'rabbanan, that's insufficient tzorech. So that's what the Gemara Tain is over here. Omalei Abaye, Abaye Tain is against Rav Yosef. What are you telling me? That a Beit HaShanol the Biyantiv, the real reason why Beis Hillel prohibit the Beit HaShanol the Biyantiv is because we're afraid it's so similar to the apples falling off of the tree. If you'll allow this, the next thing will be everybody will run right away and eat the apples that fall off of the tree. And what's so gefährlich is to eat the apples that fall off of the tree? That's on, that itself is only prohibition of the Rabbana. Because if you'll allow that, next thing that'll happen is people will pluck off the apples from the tree. So by yes, that's a gzeira. The motivation to make the prohibition against the Beit Shenolda is the concern that someone will violate an Avera de Rabbonon, so that's his Kasha Iguf Gzeira. Banan Nekim Nigza Gzeira Gzeira question mark. You're not authorized to make such a Gzeira Gzeira. You're not allowed to make such a Gzeira Gzeira. That's the Kasha. And for the Gemara explains what did Rabbi Yosef mean. He said it wrong. Rabbi Yosef said it wrong in the beginning. He said Gzeira Mishum Peres Anosh. So the Gemara says, no, he didn't mean that. What he meant to say was kulachad gzeirahi. When the Tanaim instituted, you're not allowed to make a gzeirah drabonon without a great tzorach. You have to have a tzorach body. If the Chachamim only see if what motivates them to make a gzeirah is a tzorach cotton, so that's not a valid reason, and that the bezin who makes such a gzeirah is in violation of Baal Teis. They're not allowed to make such a gzeirah. But what if they have it? They see a tzorach gadol. And then they make a sweeping gzeira that even covers cases where there's no chashash at all. That's a light plug rabbanon that they always do. When they have a tzorech, they have to have a sufficient tzorech to make a gzeira. Once they see a tzorech, once they see a chashash that someone's going to violate an avera, then they have a right to make a gzeira, even an instance that covers even cases where there's no chashash. Like the Gemara has, the famous case the Gemara has, that on Pesach, we use matzah meal. When we bake at home, we use matzah meal. So the Gemara says that unless you're choshish for gebrok, but the Gemara in the days of the Gemara, they weren't concerned about gebrok. So if you take matzah meal, you mix it with water, you can let it sit for 10 hours and it won't become chametzik. Once it was already baked, once the matzahs were baked already, and then you made it back into flour, so even if you let it sit in water for hours and hours, ha'ofui v'hamavushol will not become chametzik. But Bizmana Gemara, they didn't have Bizmana Taran, they didn't have such an einfal matzah mill to make matzah mill. So they had regular flour. Sure. So they took kernels of grain and they ground it up and they made flour. Today the regular flour is chametz because they bleach it. They bleach it means they wash it off, and they don't wash it off. It's already many centuries that they have the kernels of grain soak in water for hours and hours, for a day and a half, in order to clean off all the dirt that you should have white flour. So by us, the regular flour that they sell in the store is already chametz before you begin. A lot of Achrenim think that it's chametz dogen gomer. Chametz dogen gomer. In fact, in America, there's a whole scandal that was in the newspapers around 3-4 years ago that the Congress, the government caught the flour companies when they sell flour. So they said they charge you by the weight of the flour. 5 pounds of flour, 10 pounds of flour. When they sell to the big bakeries that they sell a 100-pound sack of flour, so they used to put in water. The companies used to put in water because water is much heavier. So in order to make it weigh more, so if you're going to pour in a lot of water, it's going to be slushing around. So the customer is going to see that it's full of water, so he's not going to buy it. So they put in so much water that all the water should get absorbed, and no one should notice that it's all filled up with water. And it weighs it down, so they make a lot of money. They sell 100 pounds of flour. It's not 100 pounds of flour. Yeah. It's really only 75 pounds of flour. Well, and all the rest was they were mashlim, the 100 pounds, with the water. So it was a big scandal years ago in the newspapers. So there's a mamish gnevish shtick. So that's mamish chametz dogen gomer. The kernel, the flour was sitting with water. The flour was sitting with water for days and days. But even if they don't soak, that's fakerai. Even if they don't soak the flour in water, they do honestly, but they bleach the flour. Yeah. So the way they bleach the flour, the Gemara calls it chalita. You do chalita. So the way they bleach the flour, since the 1500s, the Achrenim already writes, not the way they did Bizman HaTanoi. They soak the kernels of grain for a long time, and then they wash it off, and then they clean it. So they say that's also all flour that we have today, is all regular flour from the store, is a real chashash of chametz. When you sell, some people think, when they sell the chametz for Pesach, they don't have to sell the flour. The flour is not chametz stick. It only begins to become chametz when you mix it with water. What do you have to sell the flour that's kosher for Pesach? So that's a mistake. It says in the Poskim that the flour that we have today, even if they don't do the gnevish shtick like in America, that they fill up the sacks with water in order to save money on it, They bleach the flowers. They're already bleached. Is already the way they bleach since the 1500s all over the world is also Ashayla from Chama. But Bizmana Gemara, Bizmana Tanan, they didn't have bleached flour. They had bleached flour also. Yeah. So Bizmana Tanan, they had taste of bigger flour means they took kernels of grain, they ground it up, and it's flour. So if you mix it, you can mix it with water on Pesach, but you have to be careful not to let it sit too long. If it sits 18 minutes, Ashayla, it may begin to become chametz. So the Tanaim said, so you be careful not to. So they all had flour, Pesach bigger flour. How do the matzah companies make matzahs? They take that kind of flour and then they mix it with water and they make matzahs. So the same thing in the days of the Tanaim, that's what they did on Pesach. That's such flour. They mixed it with water, they were careful not to take too long. So it didn't take 18 minutes. So the Tanaim were asked, Ashayla, what about if you want to make fancy cookies with a design? So the balabasta is going to mix the flour with the water, then she can't let it rise for more than 18 minutes, so she'll mix it, and then she'll take a rolling pin and make it flat, and then she's going to make cut out little designs. So the Tanaim said it's going to take a long time till the balabasta is going to make these little chachkalach. So since the isha shoya aleihem umach mitzosim, the woman is going to take too long. So it's a chashash that we don't allow. We don't allow you to make fancy cookies on Pesach with a design because it may take too long. So one of the in the days of the Tanaim, Bises, one of the bakers was Bises Ben Zainan. So yes, the Chachamim, he has a form that he can make these. He can make these so quickly. He can make it faster than a balabasta can make plain without fancy design. He can make it so fast, and they can. And the bakeries can make very, very, very fast. So yes, the Tanaim, is he allowed to make? Maybe bakers should be allowed to make Sreik and Hamitzuyorim at Pesach. So the Tanaim answered, "What are you talking about, Yomra? What are the balabatim going to understand it? Yomra kol asreikin asurin sreik advices mutarit. They won't understand that. It means you have to make a loy plug rabbanon." If you want to ask, if you'll be matter for one person, everybody will say, I'm also an exception to the rule. I'll be careful, and I'll see to it that it doesn't become chametz. So the Gemara uses that expression in a few other places. When the Gemara wants to explain that you have to make a loy plug rabbanon, so they use that lashon. Yomru kol asreikin asurin, asreikin baisis matarim. So what do you see over there? Many Gemaras like that. The reason why they ask asreikin amtsuyarin is because of a real chashash. They're really concerned. The balabasta will let it sit too long, play around and sit too long, and it'll become chametz. But once they had a tzorech to make a gzera de rabbanon, so then they were already authorized even to introduce the gzera in cases where there's absolutely no chashash whatsoever. Bais ben Zainan, he did it 1, 2, 3. He had these forms. He did it faster than a regular balabasta would bake your normal matzahs. Still, that's the idea of a loy rabbanon. So that's what the Gemara answers over here. Not that this is a gzeira, not that Rabbi Yosef is interpreting, not that Beit HaShenolda is a gzeira. If you'll allow Beit HaShenolda, people will think that you're allowed to eat Peres HaNoshrin, and if you allow Peres HaNoshrin, people will think you're Shema Yalavid. No, it's not two steps. It's the same step. When the Chachamim prohibited Peres HaNoshrin, Shema Yalavid, the Yitlosh included in the Peres HaNoshrin, they made a big loy plug rabbanon. So they even prohibited eating a Beit HaShenolda even though there's absolutely no chashash.
Yeah,
what's the chashash? He's going to take a hen and kvetch his. He's gonna, he wants to eat an egg. So he's going to take a hen and squeeze out the egg. It's not shaykh. The whole chashash doesn't make any sense. No one's going to do that. It's so far-fetched. But once they had a tzorech to make a gzeira on Peres HaNoshim, that was a real chashash. So once they made that gzeira, they made a loy plug, and it applies even to cases where the chashash doesn't apply, even when the concern doesn't apply. That they had a right to do.
What is this fruit if you not sure whether it fell down Friday or Saturday? You go, you have a tree, and you maybe it fell down Friday or you find it Saturday. You will be also, even though it's Hagzeira Rabbanan, you also won't be able to eat it.
Should have said Sveika de Rabbanan Lekula, but that's called the Dovish Yesh Lamatirin. So the Gemara says that the next day. When you have a suffix and a dovish yesh lamatirin, you have to go to Chumrah. So if you have a suffix, if it was Peres HaNoshim on Shabbos or on Friday, you're not allowed to eat it till after Shabbos. Yeah. So that's how Rav Yosef says. And on the third line from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Rav Yitzchak is the fourth explanation. Four different explanations. Each Amora gave a different reason why the Beis Hillel prohibited the Beit HaShenolda. Rav Yitzchak says, no. It's not at all Teres Anoshim. It's Exera Mishul Mashkin Shezavu. Why is it Mashkin Shezavu like this? If you take olives, or you take grapes, and you squeeze out the olive oil, or you squeeze out the grape juice, so that's considered a Malacha Derais. If you Soichet Zeisim Anovim, that's a Malacha Derais. What's the Malacha Derais? What? It's not listed. Sita is not listed. Told of the Dosh, yeah. Mefarik is a told of the Dosh. What is Disha? What's his Disha? Disha haste, if you harvest the grain that grows from the ground, that's kotzer. When you harvest the grain, so you have the ochel, or the kernels of grain, and then you have the straw, the tall stalks of straw that hold up the kernel of grain on top. That's the psolus. So when you detach the ochel from the psolus, when you thresh and you detach and they're connected together, they grow from the ground like that. When you detach it, that's the malacha of dosh. When you do, let's say I take a box full of these kernels of grain and I shake the box very strongly, or I have or I walk on it, or I have behemoth trample on it, that's disha. When I detach it, but it's still all mixed in together. I have the kernels of grain together, but the straw, everything is mixed in together. Then the next step is when you separate it and you take out the oichel, the kernels over here and the psalms over there, that's borer. That's another malacha borer. But when you do the detaching without doing any separation, you detach the oichel from the psalms, that's a malacha of disha. So what if I take a challah and I slice it in half? Also detaching. So the answer is no. It's the same thing. That's uchla difras. Uchla shenifra meuchel. That's not. If I take a steak, I take a chicken, and I cut off a piece, that's not. That's uchla shenifra. Uchla difras. So when is it a prohibition if the two different kinds of things, one is uchla, one is psolos. One is uchla, one is mashke.
How about peeling? Peeling olives.
Peeling is a shaila. Peeling should have been a prohibition. It's a question why it's not. I take a banana, I take an orange. That should have been a good example of disha, but it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter. So it's a good question. Why is it mutter? Okay, that's a very good question. So they have a discussion in Shulchan Aruch why it's mutter. Some say, some tepashtis is the reason why it's mutter is because that's derech achila. Let's say a person is eating the chicken. So he doesn't want to eat the bone. So as he's eating, he eats the chicken, and he leaves the bone. So if you separate the oichel from the psoilas, derech achila, I don't label it as a malacha. I say that's called derech achila. So the same over here, if the person, let's say, peels the banana and he eats the banana, let's say he has nuts, he has peanuts, so he takes off the shell and he eats the peanuts right away. So that's called, that's not called a malachas disha, even though it should have been disha, that's derech achila, so it's mutter. But what if he doesn't do it for right now? What if, let's say, he takes all these peanuts and he cracks open all the shells and he takes all the peanuts and he puts it here, and then he throws out the shells, and then he's going to eat these peanuts later, or he's going to have children are going to come later and he wants to prepare the peanuts now for later, then not only will it be a problem of borer, it'll be a problem of disha too, because it is disha.
Then you can't do it for anybody else either.
If the other person is going to eat it soon. The other person is going to eat it.
But that's not achila. It's achila for yourself, but you can't make achila for others.
The Gemara says also the borer is mutter for achila for others. Yeah. It's also called derech achila, but only if the other person is going to eat it.
Yeah.
And only asvar, only if you do one peanut at a time. If you do a lot, even if you're going to eat it, let's say the person doesn't want to throw in one peanut. He wants to crack open five peanuts and then throw all the peanuts in his mouth at one time. So that's a shaila fundisha. Remember Rav Soloveitchik said over the Avnei Nezer, that's a shaila fundisha. If you do one at a time, I crack open, I eat it, that's called derech achila. If you do a lot, and then you're going to eat them all together, that is a shaila fundisha. This is derech achila, and that's not derech achila. So there is a prohibition of disha. Disha is when you separate, when you have two things that are connected. You have a big challah and you cut off a slice, that's not disha. That's challah and that's challah. You have flesh and you cut off a piece of flesh, that's flesh and that's flesh, all the same thing. That if you have ochel and psoles, two different things, and you separate them, or you have water that's absorbed in a sponge and you squeeze it out, so you're separating the water from the sponge, the two different things. Or let's say you have a shmata, that's a shayla. You have a shmata and you squeeze out the water. That may be a shayla of disha. Yeah, that's a gemara in the end of Shabbos. So here, schita. Yeah. Or here, that's schita, a form of Taisa's discussion. Maybe it's a form of disha. Taisa has a discussion. Maybe it's a different malacha. Malabe. No. Schita is a told of disha. The original malacha, the av malacha is disha, when they grew together, organically grew together, and you're separating the psoldus and the ochel. You're detaching, not separating, you're detaching the ochel from the psoldus. That's the original av. And the tolda applies anytime you have two things that are connected together, and you, so when you squeeze out, so when you have, let's say a person has oranges, achreis, lemons, and he squeezes it out, so then the Gemara has a whole discussion. Maybe that's not an issa deraisa. The Gemara has a whole shana. Maybe that's a shana. Maybe the Gemara is that different. Maybe they sell lemon juice. They sell orange juice. They sell lemon juice in the stores. Maybe bizman is that's mamish and malacha deraisa. But let's say bizman atanoim. They didn't have lemon juice. They didn't sell orange juice. The only juices that they were ruggled to make was esim and oven. They used to take olives and squeeze out olive oil. They used to take grapes and squeeze out the grape juice or the wine.
Can you eat a grapefruit?
May you eat a grape? I mean, when you eat the grapefruit, you're squeezing out. Yeah. So that's he's not interested. Yeah. That's mutter. But after he takes out the pieces from the grapefruit, and then there's juice on it. Let's say a person cuts a grapefruit. Cuts it into sections. And then the plate is all full of juice, and then he wants to drink up that juice. That's mashkin shezavim. So we're going to have to see if you're allowed to drink that juice, because the chachamim made a gzera here. Oh. So that's what the Gemara says over here. If you take grapes or olives and you squeeze them out, so that's a violation. That's a tolda of disha, because you're separating the mashke from the ochel. All of the Gemara says another may peris. The Gemara says it could be that there's no isad derais. It could be that it's not called a mashkin and oichel. It could be that it's like cutting a piece of challah. It could be that it's uchel difras. When do you consider one a mashkin, one an oichel? By zaysin v'anovim, because shemen zayis and yayin, these are considered mashkin. The other mashkin, maybe they're not considered mashkin, but shemen zayis.
One is achila, one is mashkin.
Well, one is an oichel.
The zaytim and anovim by themselves are achila. And they're changing it from achila into mashkin.
So then you're not changing it, you're separating into two units. Oh, separating and detaching the mashkin from the oichel. So that's a violation of disha. That's how the Gemara says. That's a violation of disha. So not only are you prohibited from squeezing out fruits on Shabbos, I told of Dosh, you're not allowed to squeeze out on Yom Tov either. If I have a cup of tea and I want to squeeze in some lemon, so the Gemara is of the perishing Gemara. You're not allowed to squeeze out the lemon. Or I remember years ago, when I was a little boy, they used to make the mothers crazy. They have to squeeze out fresh orange juice every day. So the mother used to go crazy. They used to squeeze out the oranges. So on Shabbos, Rosh Tetzach, everybody knows you're not allowed to squeeze out oranges. Yom Tov, half of the religious women thought Yom Tov is a chayachal nefesh. You're allowed to squeeze the oranges. So the Gemara said, "Beferish, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to, just like you're not allowed to pluck off the fruits on Yom Tov, even though it's an oichal nefesh. You're not allowed to squeeze out the juice on Yom Tov either. This din is the same as Shabbos. That's what Tosfos is going to discuss. That's the question. Is it Nisa Deraisa and Nisa Derabbanan? We're going to have to figure it out.
No.
One of the Achreidim writes like that, but the Pashtus is that it's not so. Into the Oichel you're allowed to. The Gemara says, let's say I have fish. A lot of people squeeze lemons into fish. So of course, man, the juice is still in the lemon, it's Oichel. And when it's going to get absorbed into the fish, it's going to be Oichel. So if I squeeze the lemon juice right on top of the fish, or let's say I'll squeeze the lemon, I put sugar in the cup. And I squeeze the lemon juice into the sugar. So the Gemara in Shabbos calls that mashka habola teichoichel koichel dami. As long as the lemon juice is still inside the lemon, it's still in a state of oichel. When does it become a mashka? Only after you squeeze it out. But I squeeze it out in such a way, it's flying into the oichel. It's not going
to
be in the state. So it continues to be oichel, and it never gets the shame mashka. Since it's flying in the air, it's falling on its way to become absorbed into the yoichel, so it never gets the status of mashke in the first place. So that's like cutting a slice of challah. That's uchla difras. That's not a violation of disha. So the Gemara seems to say, the pashup shat, the outline of the Gemara, anisa deraisa would be, what would be anisa deraisa if you squeeze out the olives and the grapes on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Sounds like it's an Issa Deraisa. Pasha Pshat, we're going to have to see the Tosfos. Simple Pshat, that would be the Issa Deraisa. Now there's an Issa Dirabbanan. What if you have a Hechetimtze? Somehow the olives got squeezed out by themselves. Or the grapes got squeezed out by themselves. Very hard to imagine. How did it get squeezed out by itself? Who's this out?
Two
laying on top of each other.
The weight.
You have all the grapes laying on top. It's an amela because if you have a ton of grapes in a place where they're making wine, so the grapes are going to press down on the bottom grapes and you're going to have a lot of juice. So what if you want to drink that juice on Shabbos Yontov? I know that it oozed out on Shabbos Yontov by itself. I didn't do a melacha. So there's a gzeira midrabbanan. You're not allowed to, or in the case, let's say he cut the grapefruit, he cuts an orange, cuts a grapefruit, and there's an abundance of juice on the plate. And he wants it, and he's cutting the grapefruit is hetter gomer. So that juice, who is that by itself? Nobody violated any avera. So still the Gemara seems to say, we'll have to get to the details in a minute, the Gemara seems to say that mashkin shazova me'aleihem may not be eaten. You're not allowed to drink the mashkin shazova gzeira shema yischot. We don't allow that because if you allow that, it can come the day in the melacha deraisa of squeezing out. Mm-hmm. So not only do we not allow mashkin shezavu, a raw egg is also liquidy. Yeah. A raw egg, until you cook it, until you make it hard-boiled egg, is a pretty liquidy. It's not exact. It's not like a cup of tea.
But it's not a mashkin.
That's the shaila. So this opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak holds the chachamim. That's what it sounds like. He says the chachah beis hillel. My time at the Beis Hillel. Why did Beis Hillel say you're not allowed to eat the Beit HaShenolda? He says, if you'll allow Beit HaShenolda, the next thing you'll know is that people will be drinking Mashkin Shazavu, because in their mind they'll confuse it. This is the Hamashke. The raw egg is the Hanestate of Hamashke. So if you'll allow Beit HaShenolda, people will think you're allowed to do Mashkin Shazavu. And if you allow Mashkin Shazavu, the next thing is that people will squeeze out the juice and they'll be in violation of the Issa Deraisa. That's what it sounds like. So Abai chep is him also. It's El Bakash. Amalei Abaye. But Mashkin Shazavu time. Amai that itself is only a gzeirah shema yischot. He breaked out kashi guf gzeirah. That itself is only awesome at the Rabbanan. And now Nekamik said gzeirah gzeirah. You're not allowed to. You're not authorized to. So the Gemara answers the same as before. He didn't mean to say that the Chacham the Tanoim Beis Hillel prohibited Beit HaShenolda because this may lead to people.